Was Judge Boyce considering dismissing the entire case against Lori Vallow? Patients, staff, and friends of the Colorado dentist James Craig are shocked. Thought he had the perfect life. Letitia Stalk's NGRI defense is revealed. More trouble for the Murdochs. A story that goes into the you can't make this stuff up category. And then finally, our dumb criminal of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, everyone. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. Thanks for joining us. You know the drill. Subscribe if you haven't, like if you do, hit that little bell for notifications, and leave me a comment. Remember, you can listen to us on any of your favorite podcasting apps. Just simply search Crime Talk with Scott Reich. All right, let's also support the people that support Crime Talk that help keep the lights on. Go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for that background subscription search today. When you get it, you'll literally be able to do a background search on anyone here in the United States. The search is literally done while you wait, and then the report is emailed to you, and it's going to have information as to whether somebody has criminal history. Are they married? Are they divorced? Do they have liens? Do they have judgments against them? Everything you are going to want to know about somebody that's coming into your life. Maybe somebody you just don't get that warm, fuzzy feeling about. Doesn't necessarily have to be your life. What about your kid's life as well? Check out the parents. Check out the new boyfriend, girlfriend. Go to crimetalksearch.com. All right, let's go ahead and open the record for March 22nd, 2023. And let's begin with the docket. First, was Judge Boyce considering dismissing the entire case against Lori Vallow? Let's take a look. Obviously, we talked about it yesterday, that there was a hearing in the Lori Vallow matter, and the court ultimately dismissed the death penalty charges against Lori Vallow. Why? Because the prosecution has screwed this case up so bad. So I wanted to go through the minutes from the court proceeding, because I think it gives you a little better flavor of what was taking place and kind of a pattern on the part of the district attorney that has developed over the course of the last 3 years in this particular case. Anyway, so the hearing was on March 21st. The court's in session. Everybody is assembled. The court then says he'll issue an oral decision on the motions that were heard last Thursday. The court will proceed with a ruling on the motions to compel. The court goes over what was requested in the motion to compel. The court finds that the state did comply with the request and did not order any further discovery. Defendant's motion to compel is denied. The court will issue the orders. The court has gone through the motion in limine. Court will not issue an oral decision, but will issue a written ruling on the matter. And he hopes to have that by March 22nd of 2023. The court will not issue the ruling on the motion to dismiss the death penalty. There are four reasons that the death penalty should be dismissed: media saturation, multiple discovery violations, mental state of the defendant, means to carry out the death sentence. The court will address the discovery violations. The court goes through the timeline of the case. Disclosures before February 27th, 2023, the court deems were in fact timely. Disclosures made on February 27th, 2023 were late. The disclosures were made in March and they're late. The court finds the disclosures made on February 27th were late, but that they were deemed timely, and the discovery made in March, which is the jail phone calls were late, and the trial court has the discretion to impose sanctions. Court finds that they have been discovery violations. There have been no Brady violations, which is saying, hey, this is exculpatory information that you didn't turn over, and it basically finding that there was no real bad faith on the part of the prosecutors. But it says the defense does not have time to review the discovery before the trial, and the court has considered an argument of Mr. Archibald. And the court notes that he has worked with Mr. Archibald, Mr. Wood, and Ms. Blake in hundreds of cases, and the defense has exhibited prejudice in the discovery in this case. And having so determined that prejudice does exist in this matter, the court is not going to sanction and must, the court is going to sanction and must find a remedy for the prejudice that has taken place. The court cannot delay the trial because the defendant has not waived her speedy trial rights. And the court goes over these options, which included dismissing the case in its entirety or striking the death penalty. The court concluded that dismissing the case would be too much of an extreme sanction, but goes over the considerations for the sanctions and ultimately strikes the death penalty as it relates to Lori Vallow. The court also determines that the late disclosure has prejudiced the defense, and the court finds that the state is precluded from seeking the death penalty and will strike the intent to seek the death penalty from the court records. Then there was a late motion filed last night, but the determination was already made and will find that the motion was late. The determination is only for this case and has no impact on the companion case. The court will issue an order on this matter. So the prosecution, knowing that the court was going to rule, filed a response or supplemental information late, which has been the track record for the prosecution in this case. Now, everybody wants justice for JJ, Ty Lee, and Tammy Daybell. But the reality of it is, ladies and gentlemen, the prosecution has really messed this case up over the next 3 years. Hopefully, the prosecution is able to put their case in chief together in a thoughtful and clear manner so that the jury can make their determination of what needs to be done. I just hope they, well, don't show up late. Anyway, next on the docket, the staff and patients of the Colorado dentist who just happens to be Mormon. Now, I'll probably get some flack for this, but I'm starting to notice a trend, kind of like in Chad Daybell's matter, where married a long time, Mormon, doesn't want to get a divorce, but is seeing somebody new, so let's just kill them? Just saying. We'll give everybody the presumption of innocence, just like the good doctor here in Colorado. But now the Colorado Mormon dentist has been charged with killing his wife by poisoning her slowly with spiked protein shakes. And obviously everyone is shocked. Jim Craig, the dentist, is being held on suspicion of murdering his wife of 24 years, Angela, by poisoning her with potassium cyanide. Angela first started feeling sick back on March 6th. By March 15th, she was in a hospital for the third time, complaining of extreme headaches and nausea, and quickly suffered a seizure. She was taken off life support on March 18th. Prosecutors say her husband, who'd been having an affair with an orthodontist in Texas, wanted to start a new life with his lover. The bombshell allegations obviously shocked the former friends, colleagues, patients, and staff. Patients and staff are simply in disbelief. They describe the doctor as one of the smartest men that they know. He was generous with his team and always trying to help everybody out. And everybody thought that he was the adoring husband of his wife. And he may have been until he wasn't. Six kids. They had six kids together. I know divorce would have been expensive, but now he's potentially looking at spending the rest of his life in prison. Suddenly that divorce seems much more reasonable now, doesn't it? All right, Letitia Stauch. She's finally revealed her strategy as it relates to her not guilty by reason of insanity plea. The final sanity report has been identified to the court, and although it took a little longer to get there, everybody was a little shocked by it, but jury selection has begun. And for those who aren't familiar with it, Letitia Stauch was arrested in 2020 and charged with the death of her stepson, Gannon Stauch. Now, according to the latest sanity report provided by Dr. Dorothy Lewis at the defense request, Ms. Stauch was allegedly in a psychotic state around the time that Gannon was killed. The report arrived 7 months after the defense requested an independent assessment and over a year after Stauch's previous sanity report were submitted to the court. The 4th Judicial District Attorney, Michael Allen, prosecuting the case, said earlier this month that the delay in submitting the final sanity report was disrespectful to the court's deadlines. And while the defense argued that Lewis indicated she wanted an MRI done on Ms. Letitia Stauch, well, that is what caused the delay. Now, Judge Warner, handling the case, questioned how the report could possibly take so long, given the numerous delays in the trial already due to the previous sanity report. He was not amused. The first few reports conducted at the Colorado Mental Health Institute in Pueblo found that Stauch was not insane at the time of the murder. The prosecutor noted at a pretrial readiness conference that he's never seen anything like this at all. Meanwhile, like I said, jury selection continues day three as of today's date, and due to the popularity and extensive media coverage, the court has to trim down a pretty big potential jury pool, which is a good thing. The selection of the panel is expected to last about 2 weeks. They're going to have 12 jurors and four alternates. Around 75 potential jurors appeared on Tuesday for individual questioning. Originally, the district attorney thought the trial was going to last for about 6 weeks, but noted that it could take months depending on the defense report and their presentation, because ultimately the case in rebuttal for the prosecution is probably going to take longer than their case in chief, and that is to rebut the defense expert saying that Letitia Stauch was in a disassociative state and basically in a psychotic state. Didn't know what was going on. This out-of-body experience. We'll see if that's going to fly. Now, the defense attorneys are obviously worried about publicity, but as we've talked about before, Judge Warner nailed it. Publicity in itself is not a basis for removal of a juror. The question is, doesn't matter that you've heard about a case. It doesn't matter that you've seen what's been taking place. The question is, can you put that aside and decide the case based upon the facts presented in court? And if the answer is yes, then it doesn't matter what they've seen. It doesn't matter what they've heard. That's what I've said numerous times when talking about the Lori Vallow, Chad Daybell case. I don't care if you've read every piece of discovery in the case. Only matters is what is presented at court. Anyway, Letitia Stauch's opening statements are anticipated to begin in early April. Is there more trouble for the Murdochs? And is his name called Stephen Smith? Well, the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division chief, a guy by the name of Mark Keel, confirmed late Tuesday night that his agency is now investigating the 2015 death of the Hampton County teen, Stephen Smith, as a murder. They believe that it was a murder, Mr. Keel told the state Tuesday night. We don't believe it was a hit and run. How Mr. Smith died has been the subject of increasing speculation for years and one of the number of suspicious Lowcountry deaths. In recent months, questioned about the death, his body was found on a rural two-lane road in Hampton County, and they have been raised by the state and the national media. Now, for years, officials said Smith, who was openly gay, was the victim of a hit-and-run accident. Mr. Keel said that he spoke earlier Tuesday with the Columbia lawyer Eric Bland, who represents Sandy Smith, Smith's mother, and told Bland that SLED was now investigating her son's death as a homicide. Bland and his law partner, Ronnie Richter, then released Keel's statement to the media. Keel's call was a long time coming for Sandy Smith, Mr. Bland told everybody. This was a woman who for years was fighting the fight alone, saying her son was murdered. It was obvious to most people that it wasn't a highway fatality. SLED's investigation into Smith's death has been ongoing since 2021. And according to a SLED's spokesperson, Keel believes that there is a small group of people that have knowledge about what happened to Mr. Stephen Smith. For years, rumors about a connection between the powerful Murdoch family and Smith's death have swirled in Hampton County. And earlier this month, Alec Murdoch obviously was convicted of killing his wife, Maggie, and son, Paul, back in June of 2021. Now, no evidence has ever linked the Murdochs to Smith's death, at least publicly, although the case was reopened when the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division, SLED, conducted a search at the Murdoch Moselle property. So, Murdoch's surviving son, Buster, attended the same high school as Mr. Smith, and he released a statement saying that baseless rumors of my involvement with Stephen and his death are false. I unequivocally deny any involvement in his death, and my heart goes out to the Smith family. Now, Mr. Smith was a nursing student at the Orangeburg Calhoun Technical College and was found dead on Sandy Run Road about 4 a.m. on July 4th of 2015. His car was reported to be about 3 miles away, and his gas cap was unscrewed. On July 8th, an autopsy concluded that Smith died from blunt force trauma to his head. An initial investigation by the South Carolina Highway Patrol's multidisciplinary accident investigation team concluded that Smith's death was a manslaughter caused by a vehicular hit and run. However, the lead investigator, a guy by the name of Todd Proctor, has repeatedly and publicly expressed doubts about this conclusion. Many of the telltale signs that a motor vehicle caused Smith's death were absent from the scene. Over the years, critics of the hit-and-run finding have cited the absence of vehicle parts, broken glass, and tire marks in the road or vicinity of Smith's body, and Smith's shoes, which were loosely tied, still were on him. Normally, and it's not uncommon for those shoes to come off in an auto accident, because literally, they are knocked out of their shoes. Now, the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division has asked that anybody that may have information about Mr. Smith's death call them at 803-737-9000. Next on the docket, this goes into the you cannot make this stuff up category. Florida police are thanking some security guards at a strip club for preventing a potential mass shooting after they blocked a man with a loaded gun wearing a devil's mask attempting to enter the club. Take a look at this video surveillance released by the Tampa Police Department. 44-year-old Michael Rudman can be seen wearing a red and black devil's mask, and words "kill" and "dark one" were on his arms. He allegedly walked towards the entrance of the club with a firearm in one hand and a flashlight in the other. Police shared that Rudman arrived at the club at about 1:15 a.m. on Sunday, March 19th, in a silver pickup. A security guard outside the club, a guy by the name of Manuel or Manny Anthony Resto, spotted Rudman and thought, well, it must be a prank. It's not Halloween. Maybe it's some type of trick or gag. He says he's worked in security for 30 years and he knows a lot of bouncers and thought maybe they were trying to play a trick on him or something to that effect. Then all of a sudden, he came up to me and he was a really big guy, really big. And I saw him raise his hand and he had a gun. So upon seeing the firearm, Restro moved quickly to stop him, knocking the weapon out of his hand. Surveillance video showed the devil's mask gunman fight with Restro, who eventually grabbed the gun himself and pointed it at Mr. Rudman. A single round from the gun was in fact fired during the struggle. It hit the front door of the club. No one was hit by the bullet, fortunately. Now Restro and another guard subdued Mr. Rudman until police arrived. And after authorities arrested Mr. Rudman, they searched his pickup and found additional ammunition, knives, and accessories, as well as two fully loaded magazines. The police said there's no question that the security guards who disarmed the suspect saved dozens of lives through their historic acts, and the police are thankful that this individual is in custody before he had a chance to carry out whatever he, in fact, had planned. Police have no idea what Rudman's motives were, and apparently they realized that he had visited the establishment the night before. The department said Mr. Rudman had a risk protection order at the time of the incident and had an extensive history, including charges of domestic violence, battery, reckless driving, and a DUI. He now faces charges for aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, battery, aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, and purchasing, possessing, or receiving a firearm while under a protection order. And I thought those protection orders just stopped everybody from doing harm to anyone. Ha, go figure. Go figure. I thought people followed those things. Yeah, no, they don't. What the heck, Mr. Rudman? Really? Devil's mask? Going into a club to harm people? Are you kidding me? You can't make this stuff up. And I'm sure Mr. Rudman will soon sue the club, saying that it was somehow their fault that he was going to do what he wanted to do, or that he scraped his knee while the security guards were taking him to the ground to prevent a greater harm. I can see it now. I'm sure there's some attorney out there in Florida that's going to go sue that club. Mark my words.
Like many Americans, we got a dog during the pandemic. My quarantine dog, Miss Winnie the Bulldog. Now, Miss Winnie has grown accustomed to being around us all the time. When we were leaving the house, Winnie would have extreme anxiety, so we decided to look for natural products to help with her anxiety. We looked for the highest quality CBD treats, and we were not satisfied, and neither was Winnie. So we created a high-quality CBD product that absorbs faster and provides the required results faster. Baked in Colorado, CBD treats and beverage enhancers are made with nanotechnology. The nanotechnology makes the CBD extraction more pure, also allows for Baked in Colorado products to work faster. Baked in Colorado products can help reduce your pet's anxiety, ease joint pain, and help with your dog's skin problems. Go to our online store and see what Baked in Colorado product is best for your dog. When you order at bakedincolorado.com, enter code Winnie and receive 15% off your first order. We have a 30-day money-back guarantee. If your dog does not experience the desired results in 30 days, return the product and we will refund your money. No questions asked.
And finally, our dumb criminal of the day. Actually, it's two today. Two prisoners in Virginia managed to escape by digging a hole through a wall with a toothbrush. This is like Shawshank Redemption kind of stuff. Anyway, both were apprehended within a few hours after being spotted after they visited a pancake house. The Newport News Sheriff's Office said the two inmates were found to be missing during a routine headcount around 7 p.m. on Monday at the Newport News Jail. It was discovered that John Garza and Arlie Nemo had dug a hole through a jail wall using primitive tools fashioned from a toothbrush and some type of metal object. They then scaled the jail wall and made their escape. The two men were quickly found after being spotted by members of the public at a local IHOP. That's right, the International House of Pancakes. They got the munchies. I would have thought it had been a Waffle House, but that's what I thought. Anyway, this is where the stupid part comes in. Mr. Garza was in custody on charges to include contempt of court, probation violations, and failure to appear. Mr. Nemo was being held on charges including credit card fraud, credit card larceny, forgery, possession of burglary tools, grand larceny, contempt of court, and probation violations. Just saying, yes, serious, probably looking at a little more jail time or even prison time. But now that you escaped, gentlemen, you are going to prison. That's just dumb. And then not to hang out in the woods there in Virginia to make your getaway, but go get IHOP? Where'd they get the money to go to IHOP? These questions must be answered, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, gentlemen, you're dumb. Thanks for watching. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.